This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Jaden Daniels and Drake May, when they came out in the draft, were two completely different prospects. Similar in a lot of ways. What people need to keep in mind is that Jaden Daniels played like 6 years of college football. He's going to be 24 very soon. Drake May was always the higher ceiling guy, even though Jaden Daniels last night looked like his ceiling was pretty damn high. But you thought Jaden Daniels had a higher floor. I didn't think he quite had the ceiling. Drake May's ceiling is probably a little bit lesser than Josh Allen. You can't say just because Jaden Daniels is doing this, Drake May's going to do this. Jaden Daniels is more experienced. He's older. Drake May doesn't have very much experience, is a lot younger.
I think we can compare him, FYI, Greg Bedard.
The second pick and the third pick that play the same position?
I would hope.
Okay.
I think we can compare him. It's not fair to compare them.
I hit on this yesterday. I roll my eyes quite a bit at the Drake May has no experience. He played two full seasons of college football.
Yeah,
like that. All of a sudden, that's nothing. He had more starts than Mac Jones did.
He played the same amount as CJ Stroud at Ohio State, and Stroud came in and looked fine.
That's not like
looked real good, actually.
Oh, he played 5 minutes. Remember, was it 12 gauge at Ohio State? Cardale Jones.
Oh,
he like
yeah.
came in and like his, he, like, his
walked,
stock
him, to a,
took
walked
off.
Him to a national title, yeah. And then yeah, maybe started another year. Yeah, yeah.
Then that was kind of it. And like Anthony Richardson didn't play much.
That was definitely it.
That was it. Then he got drafted, yep. And then he was kind of done. But like Anthony Richardson didn't play a ton. Like I can understand if it's these guys that don't play at all.
A 1 year wonder.
Drake May got some action as a freshman, but not much. You can kind of throw that out.
I bet it was a lot.
He's doing all right. No, he's got like his middle school girlfriend.
Long time girlfriend.
About.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's a one woman man, that Drake May. That's what they say about him. But no, but like, so he was on the team as a freshman, right? If we're giving these guys any kind of, just because he's a little bit younger, he was still in college for 3 years. Like 6 years in college isn't the norm. Like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix played a long ass time. COVID was a factor. Every quarterback now transfers and everything else. Drake May went to one school, sat for a year, then started every game for 2 years. Like that's not nothing.
No, and I largely think the Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels thing where you're super old as a rookie coming into the league, I largely take that as a negative.
Well, I guess not in this case.
But I understand what Greg is saying in that it's a positive in playing them early. I mean, I get that. But tucked in there, and it's Jones and Keefe, hour number two here on WEEI. We are going to get to the Red Sox. Was this year a success? We'll do that coming up about 15 minutes from now, so stay tuned for it. But I hear Bedard there saying that Drake May is the higher ceiling player than Jaden Daniels, which that should carry a lot of weight. And he even said, well, that might sound weird based on how Jaden Daniels looked the other night. Just think that might be what you have in your back pocket.
Hmm.
A quarterback with a higher ceiling than Jaden Daniels, who looks like shoe-in rookie of the year, maybe the next great young quarterback in the NFL. It's early, but you can already see the writing on the wall with a player like Jaden Daniels following in at least the footsteps of C.J. Stroud, making an impact early on in his NFL career. And this ties into our question, Keith.
Yes.
And it sounds very simple on the surface.
Okay.
Billy Lanning brought this up yesterday, and I initially said, well, I think this is a pretty obvious answer, but the more we talked it out, the more I said, there might be a little more to this. Who would you rather be? The Niners, who have everything. They're knocking on the door of a championship. They haven't broken through yet, but roster-wise, they have the coach. They have the running back, or at least used to have the running back.
He's over in Germany, which I don't look at as a great sign for him and his knee.
They have the weapons, although. Debo banged up. Kittle banged up.
Yep.
You're about to have to pay Brock Purdy through the nose.
Mm.
You have a team that's gotten there but hasn't won. Some bad vibes going into the year. They're 1-2 and dropped a couple of games.
Okay.
Would you rather be the San Francisco 49ers among the odds-on Super Bowl favorites to win it this year? Or would you rather be the New England Patriots, who may have the franchise quarterback, which I think it's safe to say we know, and I like Purdy more than most.
Yeah, I don't.
We know the Niners don't have a franchise quarterback.
No.
They may have a starting quarterback in the NFL, an above-average starting quarterback in the NFL. Who would you rather be, Patriots or Niners?
You know, it's funny, because I was with you. You know, you first hear that question, and you're like, well, obviously the Niners, and after thinking about it, it is a little bit closer than you thought, only because if Drake May hits, that is such a huge coup. Like, they could have, in 2 years, the better quarterback. And that's a pretty good place to start. However, San Francisco, I love their willingness to make big trades, to give up first-round picks, to move up. Even though they swung and missed on Trey Lance, I like the aggressiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, they have drafted well, and they just have so much talent that even if they start to lose guys, I kind of have confidence they're going to be able to replace them. Like, they right now have four offensive skill position guys outside of Brock Purdy, maybe five, depending on how you feel about Jennings, that are all better than everybody on the Patriots.
I mean, they have another receiver they took in the first round who got a real shot. Rough offseason in Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, he might be great. Who knows?
I mean, they could have more on the way, is my point.
Trent Williams, so I don't know how much longer he's going to play, is another part of it. And then you have Nick Bosa defensively. You remember, they went through that thing, too, where they were drafting and trading defensive linemen, high defensive linemen, and then you're like, oh, you're going to get rid of him? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, they're fine. Like, they just, found another guy. So, yeah, the Trey Lance trade-up and draft swing and a miss is kind of the outlier for them. Like, that was very surprising because most of the moves they have made have been good. I also think Kyle Shanahan gets you into the door. Like, Kyle Shanahan is a great offensive mind. I do think he needs to break through. Like, he's got some of those Andy Reid vibes. Early on, Andy Reid, you're like, his quarterback's throwing up in the huddle. Like, he doesn't understand clock management at the end. Like, Andy Reid, until he finally won it with Mahomes, was viewed as a good coach, high floor, and that's where Shanahan is right now. Shanahan has been responsible for some big choke jobs. So I'm still going to take the Niners in this. I think you are one of the four or five best teams, probably, with Kyle Shanahan, and they're just waiting to break through. I do think they have a major decision coming up, whether they want to keep Brock Purdy. And I think pretty clear, based on what they did with Trey Lance before, I think they want a better quarterback, even though he seems to be the quarterback whisperer who could probably get good play out of anybody.
I think they're going to keep spinning the dial. And like, they might pay Purdy, but they might give themselves an out a year or two in, or they might just move him with a first-round pick like the Lions did. You know what I mean? Like, to get out from Jared Goff, they might throw in more.
Wasn't it last
year? To incentivize it.
When they were still interested in Tom Brady?
I'm sorry, like the Rams did. Yes, it was last year.
So, yeah. I mean, they're not that committed to Brock Purdy. And if you don't have your quarterback, like, I just think it's fascinating that Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay could probably take any bum quarterback and get a good season out of it. There's been proof. And yet both we're saying, no, we got to trade for Matt Stafford, and we need to trade up and get Trey Lance. Like, that to me is fascinating, because if any two coaches could be arrogant about that position, it's those two, and they're not.
No.
So, and then even, like, being interested in Tom Brady, like, those guys want the stud quarterback, and maybe Drake May will be that. Like, we asked the same question before they play the Jets, like, who would you rather be? And I'm like, well, for the season, the Jets, but for the next 5 years.
So this is the exact way I was just going to ask you. The Niners have to break through and win this year or next.
The clock is ticking on them.
What is their window? Is it a year or two?
Yeah.
Probably. Something
or
like
is
that.
Is Purdy up after this year?
Well, it's, but it's not even about Brock Purdy.
No,
it's
but
like
I'm just asking. Is he
Debo up? Samuel breaking down, Kittle breaking down, McCaffrey might already be broken.
They're hurt all the time.
Okay, they just paid a crap ton of money to Brandon Ayuk. So, like, what is the Niners' window? I think we need to answer that question before you can say who you'd rather be long-term. If you think the Niners have a five-year window, well, then it's the Niners. But if you think, and I do, the Niners have a year or two and they need to break through and they're on the clock and the window's closing, well, then I'd rather be the Patriots. I would rather be the Patriots who in 5 years, you have a franchise quarterback. In 10 years, you have a franchise quarterback. Hopefully, I would rather be the Patriots in that scenario. So right now, Sunday, of course you'd rather be the Niners.
Oh, yeah.
For all of this year, you'd rather be the Niners. But longer term, going forward, who's in a healthier position? Who is hopefully on the upswing compared to who has already peaked and maybe on the downswing? Pats greater than Niners in that scenario.
Yeah, right now, I mean, they are, you know, four NFC championship games in the last 5 years. And we'll see how this season goes, right? They're off to a 1-2 start. But, you know, Trent Williams, who they signed and was a holdout, and he is like the anchor of that offensive line. He is 36 years old.
That's another
one. How much longer is he going to be?
Even still, we're getting names, you know, on defense. You know, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. Those guys have already started to break down a little bit. Certainly Bosa. Mm-hmm. Maybe I got to double check Warner. I thought he's had some injuries too. And so it feels like their window's closing. And it's not closed, but they better win this year or next.
Yeah.
Or else they're going to have to do what the Patriots did and reset, I think.
I know.
617-779-7937. Who would you rather be? Sounds simple. Patriots or Niners? But you can answer the question there. Johnny is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
I feel like I'm on Adam Jones' watch right now. Like, every time I am tuning in, it's like somebody is pretending to be Adam Jones, he's coming out with positivity, and I'm like, who is this guy? You'd rather be the Patriots? Like, dude.
So you disagree, Johnny, it sounds like?
Yeah, you'd rather be the Niners.
It's not, I mean, not only do I disagree, I'm just like, who am I listening to here? Like, it's supposed to be like, who are you supposed to be? The Patriots or, like, anybody else in the NFL, and the answer is always anybody else in the NFL, because, Jones, you're the Dark Knight.
Well,
like, you are the demon.
Well,
and,
it's fair, but I also love Drake May.
I was going to say, the big Drake May thing. That's
you know,
the answer
right.
now.
I mean, I like Drake. So, Johnny, I like Drake May more than Caleb Williams coming in, and I don't know if I feel vindicated in all of that,
TBD.
But I like Drake May the most in this draft. More than anyone.
Well, why?
More than
what? Like, were you a North Carolina fan or something? Like, I haven't. What, we played. What? Where? Where did you get that from? I don't. Where's the optimism? I don't even understand that.
Well, I don't get
like,
why you
me,
would.
He's,
why would you be positive about Drake May?
Suck. What?
I mean, everybody because falls in love with prospects, and
they're,
what?
No, you can't fall in love with prospects.
Why? Okay. Well, what if you fell in love
with
Jaden
Daniels? That's the name of the game. Draft season. If you watch college football or college basketball, you're allowed to fall in love with players and like hope that they're on your team. And then when your team drafts them, if you have really high hopes for them, like that's not crazy.
Can't fall in love with these prospects. What if you like Joe Burrow? What if you like Josh Allen? What if you like Jaden Daniels?
CJ
what
Stroud.
If you like CJ Stroud?
That was a mistake. Can't like those guys.
So like they might suck. That's possible. But the Niners don't have the franchise quarterback. You might.
Yeah.
So it's as simple as that. Is it overly positive? Perhaps.
Hilarious text, and I should have thought of this too, is we played the Greg Bedard audio where he's like, you know, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, you can't compare them, and Drake May hasn't played much. He goes, Drake May doesn't have enough experience playing, so his solution, play him less.
Don't even
think
about it. He
doesn't have experience, so sit him down.
Thought police. Wee, like, hold on. Wee.
Maybe get him a little bit of the experience.
Yeah, no.
Not today.
Can't give him that.
Don't even think about it.
617-779-7937. How's about Bob in Londonderry? Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guy, enjoy the program.
Thank you.
You know, I'm not the biggest sports guy. I watch a lot of stuff because you have to. There's nothing else to watch.
Sure.
But
all right.
Like with the Patriots.
We'll take it.
I said this almost 3 years ago, maybe four, that you're not going to see anything ever again. We're going to be old men if we're living to see anything happen positive with the Patriots. And you would just keep mentioning about the five-year window. I think 5 years from now, I'm not sure you're going to see anything changed. And also, they're in such terrible, terrible condition. If you are a good free agent, even with the money, I don't think anybody's coming to this franchise till further notice.
Okay.
And that's a tall order to fix.
I hear that all the time. Do you agree with that?
No, pay the guys the most money, they'll come here.
I mean, like, maybe you really have to go above and beyond, as we learned with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, you're not a tiebreaker by any means. Like, no one's like, ooh, I want to play for the Patriots.
But that's a factor in hitting on Drake May. And you're still going to have to pay a lot.
No, like, so much of this hinges on Drake May. Every answer to all these questions is about Drake May.
Guys aren't going to take a discount to play with Drake May. But
who
might,
would they take a discount to play with? Maybe Mahomes? But even then, how often do you see that?
Well, and just, you don't want to go someplace where you're like, oh, I'm going to go play with Brandon Ayuk, for instance.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play with Jacoby Brissett, and I'm going to catch 500 yards. I'm going to get 500 yards this year? Like, what's that going to do to my future earning potential? Like, what's that going to do to my status on the team? Like, these are things players think about. And so you need to go with at least a functional quarterback and hopefully a good quarterback if you're a skill player. And so I don't fully agree with that. I don't fully subscribe to or agree with the idea that they'll never get free agents. Right now, guys don't look like they want to play here.
Yeah.
But right now, the quarterback's Jacoby Brissett, and it's year one of Jerod Mayo.
Now,
and
the players will go
anywhere.
Let's
see how it looks with Drake May. I do think you'll be able to get free agents. Kraft may not want to pay him.
No, well, that's
let's,
it. Yeah.
Let's see that. But he was willing to pay Ayuk. He was willing to at least be in the mix for Ridley. They weren't the highest bid, and Ridley shouldn't have chosen to come here.
No, but I wonder now, I mean,
but Ridley chose Tennessee. That's a horrible spot.
Yeah. Well, he's got Will Levis. No, but like if they were close, and you know, I'm not giving them a lot of credit for this. I'm just saying if they were close to Calvin Ridley and close to Brandon Ayuk, maybe the next guy that comes up, they have an opportunity for it. And I don't think the guy's going to say, no, I'm not going there. They'll go anywhere.
Here's a good one. Yeah. No one was rushing to go to Houston 2 years ago.
And now they're flooding there.
Diggs was a trade.
They traded for Diggs. But they
brought in a bunch of guys in free agency.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, these guys too, they, like Brandon Ayuk doesn't have a no trade clause, but they all kind of do. Right, like every guy in a way in football has a no trade clause.
Yeah, you can hold out.
I'm not going to play.
Yeah, I will hold out if you trade me there. Yeah.
So
Hassan Reddick.
Right.
I mean, the Jets
he
were idiots.
Literally, is holding out. No, but like Steph Diggs,
what I'm saying, but the Jets were idiots for doing that. But that's the threat. That's the threat to a team where you're like, oh, I won't play if you trade me there. And Hassan Reddick is proof that like how faulty that could be if you make the trade anyway. So that is effectively a no trade.
You know, it's easy to forget, but Josh Allen wasn't great right away. And when they traded Steph Diggs to Buffalo, I remember thinking, oh, my God, Steph Diggs is going to kill this guy because he wasn't accurate. You're like, is he going to get the ball enough? And lo and behold, he did, and he made it work in Buffalo for a while. So I think if Drake May hits even a little bit and they're willing to spend money, whether it's free agency or that trade and then big extension, they can get a guy.
Josh Allen, by the way, proving he does not need Steph Diggs, early on in the year.
But
it helped
turn him into a great quarterback,
okay,
and
so
then he's been able to withstand it since.
Allen, the year before Diggs, just while we're talking it out,
had
3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks. So the numbers skyrocketed when he got Diggs.
Completion percentage? I bet it wasn't great.
It was poor. Yeah, it was 59%.
Yeah, that's low.
You know who his leading receiver was, though?
In Buffalo, let's see.
Prior to Diggs.
John Brown.
It was John Brown. Cole Beasley on the team.
Oh, in your face, Nick.
Cole Beasley, close.
Cole Beasley, 67 for 778, 6 touchdowns.
Okay.
Smokey John Brown.
Yeah.
72, 10, 60, 6 touchdowns.
Not a great receiving core.
But my point would be a quarterback, that was a 10-win team. A quarterback can elevate that talent.
Yeah.
And that would be your
hope.
Are
you telling me the most important position in sports can help determine wins?
I am. Okay. And again, if you want to be the Niners, why haven't they won? I'd still like that explanation. They have everything.
Well, I'm telling you, I think it's Kyle Shanahan giveth and he taketh away.
Okay.
He's a great coach, but he can't win yet.
Okay, without a quarterback. Because like you brought up Andy Reid. It's a great example.
Andy Reid and Sean McVay. Sean McVay could get there with Goff, but needed Stafford to win it.
Well, and at least Stafford, gray area on the quarterback. I mean, Reid got...
Yeah, he was in a dump franchise. He was good, I think.
Okay, but
whereas Reid went from
an all-time great, is my point.
Yes.
Stafford
he's won multiple times.
Yeah.
I mean, McVay didn't get an all-time great, and he's won once.
Fair. But like Reid's the perfect example. Andy Reid would get you there. He'd crap his pants.
He's the modern-day Andy Reid.
He still needed the quarterback.
Yeah.
All these coaches, largely, maybe outside of Joe Gibbs, Parcells, they needed the quarterback.
Yeah.
And
even Gibbs and Parcells, I give them all the credit in the world, but that was a different league.
It was a different league.
Like now, I think, really, starting with Brady, there's been a couple of outliers, but really, you need the quarterback.
Yeah. And so Shanahan still needs the quarterback. And I don't know, do you think the Niners have the quarterback?
I don't.
So this goes back to who would you rather be, the Niners or the Patriots? The Niners have everything. Everything you could want except the quarterback. They still haven't won. The Patriots may have the quarterback.
May. Well done.
M-A-Y-E. Yep. How about that?
Perfect.
617-779-7937. The Red Sox may not be eliminated. They are eliminated. Season over. Was it a success for the Boston Red Sox? Let's get to that.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain.
all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents. It's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears. But little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm not happy, you know, but, like, it's very quiet. It's very quiet, which is good, you know. Like I've been saying all along, you know, this is, I mean, nobody had, outside the walls here, nobody expected us to play all the way till now, you know, meaningful games, you know. Our goal was to make it to the playoffs. It didn't happen, but it's a good learning experience for those kids over there. You know, obviously, it's going to be a different group next year. But for them to think that they were almost there, you know, like, I mean, at one point it felt like we were a playoff caliber team, and then it just, you know, we missed the opportunity. Let's put it that way. You look around, you look at the teams that are fighting, you know, like, we had it right there, and we blew it.
Alex Cora last night after the Red Sox officially eliminated.
No.
They blew it, he said. They were 10 games over 500.
They were.
At the All-Star break, they went to L.A., got swept by the Dodgers. And at the time, I kind of brushed aside. It was a competitive series. I'm like, look, you want to take a game or two against the Dodgers, of course. You don't want to get swept. But they just proved they can go toe-to-toe with the best team in baseball. I defended it in real time. And maybe
how are you feeling now,
yeah,
Jones?
Maybe the team bought into that because they fell apart right after that. They have now missed the playoffs, Keith, in three straight years. The first time that's happened since 2010 through 2012. They have not missed four consecutive postseasons in something like 30 years. I saw Tom Caron tweet that out last night. The Red Sox did, by the way, win the World Series the year after they missed the postseason three straight times the last go-round in 2013. Mm-hmm. But they're officially eliminated. And so it ended last night. And Cora, out one end of his mouth, is saying, well, we're not going to consider it success. I heard Breslow say something similar earlier today on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can listen to Craig Breslow there or seek it out on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Yeah, obviously, it's not the goal. We want to make the playoffs. We want to compete for a World Series.
Right.
But nobody outside these walls even believe we'd be that good. And so I don't necessarily find that a satisfactory answer, to be honest. Like, oh, you guys didn't believe you guys didn't believe we could go 82-80 this year in your face.
Yeah, we hit the over.
Yeah.
We hit the over. The Vegas over.
It's not our goal, but we hit the over. Suck on that.
Yeah, this one's tricky because if you just look at it from the preseason expectations, I think it is a success. And we can get into some of the particulars with the players. But if you look at where they were, where they were at the deadline, the fact that they actually did add some guys, but most of those guys sucked. So it was like Breslow got credit. Maybe all of them sucked.
All of them sucked. Yeah.
Fair enough.
All
sucked.
Danny Jansen made some baseball history. He did.
He made baseball history.
Other than that, I didn't care for it.
Yeah, we talk about the Danny Jansen game for years to come. But so, in the moment, you're like, all right, look at this is different. They went out and got players. They needed help. They needed relief help. They got two guys, both sucked. They got a starter who just got cut by a team that's good. Bring him back in. He's always hurt. Oh, he's hurt again. And then Danny Jansen and then, like, a minor leaguer. So the fact that they were closer than they should have been, and then they just weren't prepared to play in the second half of the season. I also look at it where you're not going to, sweep every bad team, right? But the Chicago White Sox are the worst team in the history of baseball.
They're right there. What'd they go, 4-3?
Yeah.
They went 2-2, and then they blew the final game in that series late in the year.
4-3. And we'll see just how close it is.
They went a tick over .500 against the worst team in the history of baseball.
And then the Colorado series, they lost 2 out of 3. That's another one of the worst teams in this season in baseball. So, like, there's 5 losses right there. And again, you're not going to win all of them. But depending on what it comes down to, 2 games could be a big difference maker, and you ended up losing those. So it's hard to say a non-playoff team is a success, but I think you can highlight a season like that Jarren Duran had. Like, Jarren Duran established himself, full season guy, a real all-star, a top 5 guy. Yeah, great guy too, apparently. But he
been a homophobe.
So I don't like that part about Jarren Duran, but his game, he had I was just looking this up, the 4th best WAR in baseball, like something insane like that, like higher than Juan Soto's. So he had a great year. He is the leadoff hitter. He can play center or left, depending on what you want to do with your alignment. He was great. Like, he had a great season and is somebody that you can kind of build around going forward. So I look at that as a big win.
Okay. So if I asked you, was this year a failure? Would answer, no, it's
not
a failure.
Not a failure.
But if I ask, is it a success? I would also answer no.
So
like, this wasn't
then
a success, right? So it's something
we live in a world where it's black and white.
Okay, well, I would say no to a success. I mean, if you're asking me that question, I would say no, this wasn't
closer
a success.
Closer to success than failure?
I guess.
On the scale?
I would call it a step forward.
Step forward.
Like, is that being too much in the middle? Yeah, we can debate how large of a step. But it was a step forward. The farm system feels like it got a lot better. Roman Anthony is the number one prospect in baseball. Christian Campbell was Baseball America's Player of the Year. So it feels like the
kids
farm system, they're close.
The kids are on the way.
You had a big league season, not kids at Worcester.
Yep.
You had a big league season out of Jarren Duran that was, I think, in some ways special.
Tanner Houck also, I would say, had a much better year than anticipated. And you're like, that was a guy that might not have even have been in the rotation if Lucas Giolito didn't get hurt in camp. He ends up being an all-star. You know, He was in the Cy Young conversation for a few months. That obviously dipped. But still, an ERA just over 3 and the first full season as a starter for Houck. I would look at Houck and Duran as sort of wins. A few other players had their moments. Like, Willier Abreu looks like he's like a major league player.
Yeah.
Sadon Rafaela looks like a major league player.
Yeah. So I'd call it a step forward. And so was it if you would have told me before the year they're going 82-80 or whatever they're going to wind up going, mm-hmm. I probably would have signed up for that, I guess. But what if I told you they were 10 games over at the deadline? And what if I told you they were playing that level of baseball?
Yeah.
Would you have signed up for that? So the second half was a failure. The second half of the year was a failure. They fell apart again
after
the trade deadline.
August, yeah.
So can I answer it that way?
Yeah, I guess.
This year was not a success.
Oh, no.
The second half was a failure again. Maybe overall they took a step forward, but really more at AAA than at the big league level. It feels like we're 1 year closer to finally not having to deal with a bridge year and actually have a real baseball season. That's how I would answer that. And it's not enough. Like, if you take a step back and look at it from 1,000 feet, you're not doing what a Red Sox baseball team should do. You've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. You've collapsed after the trade deadline 3 years in a row, and you just extended and rewarded the manager for that.
Oh, yeah, big extension.
I don't love any of that. I don't. And so to get people on board, what do you have to do? You have to make trades this offseason. Breslow said it this morning. He said it to Alex Speer yesterday. We have to get rid of some of the left-handedness in the organization at the big league and minor league level. All these prospects are left-handed, except maybe Campbell. I'd have to double-check him. But Anthony, Meyer, they're all left-handed prospects. Teal. So they have to figure that out. What are you going to do with Tristan Casas? What are you going to do with Jarren Duran? Are you going to sell high on one? Are you going to sell low on the other? How are you going to remake this team? Abreu, who you just mentioned, is even left-handed.
Yeah. See you later, bud.
And you got to get starting – see you later, bud, too.
Abreu. Okay, well, No, I'm just saying, like, if you want all four prospects, and Campbell is a righty, but the other guys, if you want all these guys up in the lineup, and if you don't trade Casas, like maybe Abreu, but whatever, like, I don't, not that you're going to get a whole lot back for him or anything like that. No, so this is, you can't go too far talking about the team without then going to, like, are they going to spend and looking at what the front office is going to be allowed to do in the offseason.
Did you hear Breslow this morning?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like they're going to spend. It sounds like they're going to trade, which is maddening to me. You should trade and remake your team,
but
also spend. It doesn't sound like they're going to spend. I was not heartened by listening to Breslow this morning.
So I don't think they are going to spend. So now it's going to be, can Breslow kind of thread that needle and get what you need to get? Meaning this season, whether you want to even talk yourself into maybe it being somewhat successful, that'll all go up in smoke if it's just run it back with the kids. Like just, oh, we got the prospects and whoever's coming back. Like that's not it. Like, I think what this team proved is they have a bunch of guys. It's almost like their starting rotation, for example, is like a wide receiver room that doesn't have the number one,
right,
or maybe even the number two. But they're like, well, Pop Douglas is serviceable. Like, Tanner Houck's pretty good, but not if he's the horse.
Right.
So if they get a start, if Corbin Burnes was in this rotation with the other four guys, you'd be like,
right, but that doesn't sound like their plan. Their plan doesn't sound like we're going to go sign Corbin Burnes. Their plan sounds like we're going to trade Tristan Casas for pitching, which would help. And if you're telling me they're not going to spend, I'm pissed about it. And then I get that you have to work within your parameters if you're Craig Breslow. Your owner isn't going to spend big in free agency.
Yeah.
So now what do you do? If you're not going to spend, what do you do? I get that. But it's frustrating that the Red Sox are at that point where they're saying maybe we could trade Casas or sell high on Duran to get pitching when you could just go sign it.
So I don't know who that is, but look, when they traded for Chris Sale, he pitched for a couple seasons like basically as a free guy. Like, is there a version of that where, it's not the plan. Eventually you are going to have to spend, but John Henry can be like, hey, we're not, and no big contracts.
Yeah,
but
like who were some of the guys that Crochet and guys with terms that they were linked to at the deadline?
Crochet You're seems out? Like, well, no, I think he wouldn't pitch unless you give him a new deal is what it sounded like.
Fair. That's a good point.
But anyway, like a guy like that, I guess maybe is what you need to do. But no, that would be the worst part of it. And I still don't know. And maybe Cora's just happy to have his contract. But I feel like, would Cora really come back here if they were just going to continue to not spend it all? That seems strange. Like, otherwise, wouldn't he just wait and go to Philly or LA and on a team that would pay him that money and spend on the team?
I think he just wanted the contract.
I think
he just wanted the money.
In Boston.
Well, no, I think he just wanted the money.
I think somebody would have given him the money, though.
Bird in the hand, two in the bush.
Yeah, no, it's here we are again.
Somebody
would have paid him what he got here.
But are the Yankees going to open? Is the Dodgers job going to open?
It's kind of like Belichick, where I think only Philly or the Dodgers can win the National League. So the team that doesn't, I feel like, could be
they're going to fire their manager? If they're in the NLCS or something like that, he might retire.
The Dodgers
might step away.
The Philly guy, I guess, might retire.
Thompson.
He might. He's old. And then the LA, maybe they just say, we need to do, like, we're spending so much money on this team. Like, we have to win.
Yeah, I don't know that any of those jobs are going to open up.
Maybe it doesn't
equate. And even if they do, are they going to bring in Cora?
But he just seems so miserable when they weren't
spending. Yeah, because he wanted money. He wanted his
own money.
That's what I think.
All right. Yeah, but it's kind of miserable to be a 500 team every year. I mean, I guess when you're making $9 million.
Like Cora's okay. It's miserable when he was making what he was making, but at $7 million, it seems like he's okay with it.
Yeah, I guess you're
right.
And
by the way, he is part of the problem. Say what you want about him. He comes on this radio station. I talk to him most of the year. He was good to us. But they collapse every year on his watch on some level. That's him.
Are you think, is he a Doc Rivers of baseball?
Is he a bit of a Doc?
One title.
Mm-hmm.
Doc
Rivers minus.
Doc Rivers a bad coach.
I'm sorry. Doc Rivers
I
with.
I gotta get my larynx fixed.
Doc Rivers the bad coach.
Doc Rivers with a cheating scandal.
Yeah, yeah, he was asked to not participate for a year.
Yeah. You got to add that to the Doc.
Well, no,
because
I like Cora caveat. Too, and I feel like I normally defend him, but it's like, all right, how many bad Augusts are you going to have? How many times are you going to be a game or two out of the wild card and then just
at least three.
Lay down and die?
At least three.
Oh, yeah, well, three and counting.
They're signing up for three of them is what they're doing. And by the way, there's September when they won in 2021, won great. They backed in on the final day of the year. 617-779-7937. Or I'd say when they went to the ALCS.
Right? Well, they were bad right away because, remember, Schwarber wasn't even healthy. So they made the trade. Then he didn't play for a while.
No, it was another year where they didn't have a great August, I should say, or a great post-trade deadline.
Definitely not August. Yeah, yeah.
617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback. You know the leads as well on the Greg Hill Show. We'll revisit what went down earlier today as we do each and every day in Misleading next.
It's time for Misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keith.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's Misleading. We revisit the Greg Hill Show earlier today. Breslow was on for the front office report. And I'm just disappointed listening to him, Keith, because I think the plan is clear. And I felt this way listening to Breslow's introductory press conference last year.
That was brutal.
People heard it and they're like, oh, I think they're going to go out and make moves. I'm like, I don't.
No.
He's talking about the farm system and improving from within and internal and all these things. And what he said this morning, and maybe they'll get to the end of the year and a certain budget will be approved by John Henry and they'll go spend. But from what I hear consistently from Breslow, including today, they're going to trade what they have, meaning prospects, meaning guys like Tristan Casas at the big league level, and they're going to go out and try to improve their team that way, which, fine, I'm okay with trading some redundancies, trading prospects to bring in big-ticket players. And I'm not saying you have to hold on to every prospect, but I'm not hearing a lot of commitment to going out and adding in free agency. And the Red Sox need to marry those things to, I think, kick this rebuild or whatever you want to call it, next step, next phase, kick it into hyperdrive. And I don't get the sense they're going to do that.
No.
I don't know why I ever believed that they will, because it doesn't sound like John Henry cares about it these days, but I don't think they're going to.
I agree.
That's disheartening.
I don't think they're going to be in the mix for the big budget free agents in the foreseeable future. It doesn't feel like it at all. Like, you know, there was a 20-year run, it felt like, with Juan Soto's a free agent, they're either going to get him or they're going to just miss out. Right? Like, that felt like that was them for
Is
many
there
years.
Any faith they'll be in on someone like
zero.
Soto or even Corbin Burns?
No.
None.
No, there is zero. And that part of it sucks. Now, the team could still end up being good. And so it's one of those, like, they shouldn't get a lot of credit for it being John Henry, because he's not going to be an aggressive owner, an aggressive spender. I don't think he's going to do that. But if these prospects end up being good, like, could they be the next wave of what we saw the Houston Astros do, or what we saw, you know, you don't want to be Kansas City because they burned real hot and then died again. But, like, same idea. Like, they had Baltimore right now. Baltimore is a good example of it. They were awful for a while, hit on these draft picks, and now they add in a Corbin Burns. Now, you notice they haven't paid him yet. But they brought him in. They traded for him to go with Rutschman and Henderson and, you know, Mullen, all these other guys that they have on that roster. And so they're really good. So maybe that's the only hope for the Red Sox. If they're not going to spend, you and I don't really feel like they're going to spend big money.
No.
Then those young guys are really good. Now, there's also part of me, and maybe this is the one little drop of optimism I have.
Oh?
Is... Well, I don't think they wanted to pay Rafael Devers, and yet they got backed into a corner and they shelled out a pretty massive contract. So is there any chance, this is now, missing the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years, 3 straight missed playoffs.
Which, again, they haven't done since 10 to 12.
Yeah.
And that got Theo fired.
And 10 to 12? Oh, yeah, but I was going to say, so there was a stretch there, but 13, they won the World Series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, they came out and won the World Series the first year after Theo, yeah.
No, but they missed it after winning the World Series in 18, when everybody looked at it and were like, oh my God, Betts and Devers and Bogarts and Benintendi. Like, look how young this team is. They won in 18. They followed up with 2 missed playoffs, a somehow like outlier ALCS trip, and now 3 straight missed playoffs. So
Is there any chance that the three straight missed playoffs backs them into a similar corner as it did with Devers? And they're like, all right, Craig, you can buy one big pitcher. Nobody else. You can't go crazy. You can get one big pitcher in here.
No.
Is there any chance? Okay.
I mean, not from listening to Breslow.
Do you think so? No, but I'm saying trading Mookie Betts, not signing Bogarts when they did and letting him go, like that's doesn't fit with signing Devers to $300 million.
Nope.
Like that is very strange.
I get you. And Henry's changed his mind a million times. We don't sign 30-year-old pitchers when they traded John Lester and then they turn around and sign David Price. So he changes on a dime.
That's true.
But if you're asking me, so any chance, I mean, maybe, but do I have a high degree of faith they're going to go out and spend? No, I don't. Not from listening to Craig Breslow today on the Greg Hill Show. No.
So the best hope as a Red Sox fan is that the prospects are all good. Now, they're never all good.
Every single prospect hits.
Or like the big four. Forget about these other guys right now. Like the big four hit. They trade Casas for a pitcher who is like in his late 20s and he's good.
Or at least the Red Sox ace.
The Red Sox ace.
Yeah.
And you kind of go from there. They're also going to have to redo their bullpen for next year, too, right? Like, aren't all those guys gone?
Jansen, Martin, those guys are all gone. A lot of Justin Slayton is what that's going to be.
Jay Slates.
Let's go to Jim in the fine state of New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, guys. I just want to say I enjoy your show, and I'm listening to everything you have to say. And, I'm a diehard Red Sox fan, but I just see this going further south than lifting up. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do to solidify this, and they just, they need bats, but they obviously need pitching, and they're not willing to spend any money. It's one of the top market teams in the whole league.
Well, they should be. They have not been now for a few years.
Yeah. Well, Chris Sale will be off the books. He's going to win the NL Cy Young this year. They paid most of that contract. He'll be off the books, so there's a little bit more money to spend.
Yeah, a little bit more cash to throw around, and hopefully Vaughn Grissom takes a step forward.
Socked the double the other night.
He had, I think he had three hits, didn't he?
Sure.
Sounds right.
Fine.
I think I read that somewhere.
Marquise Grissom? No, Vaughn Grissom.
No. Vaughn Grissom. Not to be confused with Marquise Grissom. Marquise Grissom would throw around the leather out there.
He could pick
it. He'd sock you 20, wouldn't he?
No, I don't think so. I think he was pretty light power, as I remember.
Would he swipe you 20?
Let's see. Would he?
I think Marquise Grissom would hit you 20.
He hit 20. Oh, Jones. You're right.
20?
He maxed out at 23, but yeah, he had multiple 20 home run seasons.
Yeah.
You're right.
That was the ceiling.
He was a 20-20 guy.
Let's go. Stephen Fall River has a trade option. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, let's hear it.
Let me finish your thought. You brought up Devers to say, yes, he was a reaction. He was a PR move because they didn't sign Bogaerts.
Yep.
Keep in mind, the other bad contract is Trevor Story because they didn't want to sign Bogaerts. And the manager is also a PR move because they didn't do enough at the trade deadline.
Well, that I agree.
If you could trade Devers or Casas, as far as the Red Sox are concerned, why the hell would you trade Casas when he makes less money? Now, I feel Devers is a lousy contract, but if the rest of the league is into that.
So, Steve, you're breaking up.
Your phone's falling apart.
What do you think of the idea of trading Devers?
I would.
You would over Casas?
Yeah, because you probably get a little bit more for him.
Would you? He makes so much money.
He makes a ton of money, but he's a more established player.
Like that,
Casas is still kind of upside and hope.
Here's why I would say you could get more for Casas, because every team in baseball could use him probably.
Who, Casas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's young and cost-controlled. So, like, a small market
Devers
team would want him as much as
a DH.
There's probably, like, five teams that would want Devers, if that. Just who can afford him, you know? So I think you would get more for Casas.
But he's locked in. You don't have to play that game. You don't have to wait for him to get to free agency. I think Juan Soto is probably going to make like $500 million this year. So like some of these big contracts are going to get only bigger. And so Devers at least is consistent. Like a team can get him and they're like, all right, he's 30,
like, for example, the Rays aren't going to be in on Devers.
No.
And maybe it's a bad example in the division, but like they would be in on someone like Casas.
But the contract is looming for Casas.
It is.
And he might make it more difficult, whereas with Devers, you're like, all right, he's already signed.
Yeah,
like, we have him.
617.
Real quick.
Yes.
We undersold Marquise Grissom.
No, you undersold Marquise
Grissom. I did.
Yeah.
He had not one but two. You sitting down? 75-plus steal seasons. That is insane.
75.
He had a 91 with Montreal, 76, and a 92, 78 steals.
Steals. I'm sorry. I thought you said 92 steals for a second. I was like, wow.
Did I? No. In 1992, the year of our Lord, he had 78 steals.
Wow. Apologize to Marquise Grissom.
My bad, Marquise Grissom.
It's on me, Marquise.
He only had 14 bombs that year, though, so he was really focused on the swipes.
Yeah, but a 1470 season.
Oh, that's awesome.
Real nice. I wish it was 15. That sounds
like ALCS MVP at one point.
I like around a 1575 season. Right. I like a round number. That's good.
What a player.
Or a, you know.
I gotcha.
A threshold number there.
No, I gotcha.
We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. Text line says 37937. I think we just did this. Can you please do more random baseball names from the 80s and 90s?
Of course we can.
It's an award-winning segment.
Yep.
In my humble opinion.
Ooh, Delino DeShields. I like him.
Ooh, Do you like
Delino DeShields?
Delino DeShields got... I feel like I had maybe 50 Delino DeShields baseball cards when I was a kid.
Oh, they're probably worth a fortune now.
And didn't he also... Was he in a significant trade?
Probably.
I think he was in a big trade.
Yeah.
Was it for Pedro? Did Pedro go to Montreal for Delino DeShields?
Oh, that is a good question.
DeShields,
you are right.
Yeah,
traded straight up from traded by the Expos to the Dodgers
for Pedro.
Woo!
Still talking about that one.
Who won the trade? I don't know.
Up in Quebec. They won't shut up about it. 617-779-7937.
Steals.
Back to your phone calls. We'll update you on Alex Van Pelt, some of his comments about the quarterbacks. And why haven't the Niners won yet? They have everything. Why hasn't San Francisco won yet? Let's get back into that next.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.